The glory cloud disappeared and they found themselves naked. And in the end, they found they were not really, things were not really what was promised. They didn't really become like God. In fact, they were originally like God, but they didn't become like God anymore. In that sense, they lost the glory. They had knowledge of sin, and they began to know, like God says, now they become like one of us. They began to know both good and evil, but they lost the glory. Man falls short of the glory of God. In chapter 3, the rise of the Antichrist, so the plot increases in chapter 3 verse 7. In the first month, which is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast spur, there is a lot before Haman, to determine the day and the month, until it fell in the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. Then Haman said to King Ahasuerus in verse 8, there is a certain people scattered and dispersed among the people. In all the provinces of your kingdom, their laws are different from all other peoples, and they do not keep the king's laws. Therefore, it's not fitting for the king to let them remain. And Haman came out with a document that basically in verse 13 says that on the 13th day in verse 12 of the first month, in verse 13 now, Esther chapter 3 verse 13, they were to destroy, to kill, and to annihilate all the Jews, both young and old, little children and women in one day, on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to plunder their possessions. Do you notice everything that Jesus said the thief will do, he stated there? He will destroy, kill, annihilate, and then at the end, steal. The thief cometh forth not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said in John 10 verse 10, he came that we may have abundant life. So exactly those things that Jesus said the thief will do, he is going to do here in verse 13. And so the command went forth throughout all the place. And chapter 4 verse 1, Mordecai, representing the Holy Spirit, when he learned all that had happened, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, went out into the midst of the city. He cried out with a loud and bitter cry. Now that represents the Holy Spirit. Whenever the spirit of Antichrist rise up, and you know that throughout all church history, the spirit of Antichrist has risen from time to time. And we realize that the church of Jesus Christ sometimes have compromised. Church history doesn't record some nice things about so-called Christians. We realize that in the Dark Ages period, that the Christianity, you know the problem with what Christians can do who don't read the Bible? You read church history and you will know. All those Christians, so-called Christians in church history, that went about in a religious way to command people to be killed, to be inquisited and to be burned at the stake and all kinds of unjust things. You know why they did all those things? They replaced the Bible with men's traditions. Men's traditions destroy. It's cruel. It's wicked. Only the Bible can put love back into our heart. The moment we start moving away from God's Word is a danger point. That is why no matter how great a revival we have, no matter what God does, we must always turn people back to the Bible. Don't lose the Bible. The church in the Dark Ages lost the Bible and teach some of the most ridiculous things. It teach that men cannot be saved unless they do penance. And they invent new doctrines that there's such a place that's halfway between heaven and hell. They got to pay money to be released. And they began to command soldiers. The kingdom of God is not the kingdom of this earth. It's the kingdom of the spirit realm. Jesus himself says, we don't take up swords. We don't take up physical weapons. Yet the church in history, we all know about the crusades, commanding people to take swords, to go for and fight, which is anti-Bible. Jesus says that His kingdom is not of this earth. And we realize that. Now that's as far as the Church of Jesus Christ is concerned. We want to definitely clarify that area. And that is why in the book of Esther, in here, that we see that whenever there is an Antichrist rising or things that go against what God does, the Church doesn't take up physical weapons. The Church takes up spiritual weapons of prayer. All the Church can do is pray. Prayer is the Church's greatest weapon, believe me. Prayer is the Church's greatest weapon. The bending of our knees is the most powerful force this world has ever seen. Many years ago, there was a man named John Knox. And when he prayed, it is said that even Mary, the Queen of Scots, said, "She fear not all the armies of Britain, but she fear the prayers of John Knox." Prayer is our only weapon, my friends. It's our only nuclear bomb in the spirit world that is so powerful that it will reach across the sphere of this earth. During the Dark Ages, I believe it was one of those cries that came from a martyr when they were burning the first people who translated the Bible. And as a person was dying and being burned on the stake for translating the Bible into the common language of the people, he prayed one prayer: "God, open the eyes of the king." Within a short time, the King of England commanded a Bible to be translated. Prayers changes things. Life is short, but what we put into our life, into the spirit realm through prayers, are what changes things. Today we possibly are a result of somebody else's prayers. All of us is possibly the result of somebody else's prayers. And our prayers continue that force that revolutionize the earth. So I emphasize again, we are talking about spiritual things. Don't any one of you go and take all these words and make it into a natural thing. Because Christians must focus purely on the Word and purely on the things of the Spirit. And Mordecai in chapter 4 verse 1 went down on his knees to pray. Do you know that the main primary work of the Holy Spirit is groaning and travail? Even Paul felt that. And the Holy Spirit will groan and travail and will only stop the groaning and travailing when the perfect has come. It's found in the book of Romans, again in chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Paul, in talking about the perfection, in verse 22 says, "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. And not only they, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves eagerly, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. Why does one still hope for what he sees?" And verse 26, "Likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Now he is not just talking as a sample of tongues. He is making a statement of fact that until the perfect thing come, the groaning will continue in our spirit. And the prayers will continue until Esther and the people are totally delivered. Until the rapture takes place, until the church is completely perfected in the image of Jesus Christ, the groanings are still coming forth in the spirit world. Prayers is a powerful force that we must not forget. Like last week, we learned how you can pray short prayers. Not necessarily. There are many types and kinds of prayer. Those of you who are busy out there in the working world, short prayers. From time to time, as often as you can remember, just say, thank you, God. If you're doing whatever professional work, look up to God and say, thank you, God, I receive your wisdom for my work. Just that statement, one sentence prayer is powerful. You make a difference in your day. But we have to be trained into that habit. Learn to mix prayer in your work. And then at the same time, we also have to develop skills of intercessory prayer, praying long hours. But the problem is sometimes people who learn to pray long hours don't know how to pray short prayers. It's dangerous asking them to say grace. From breakfast time, they say grace until dinner time. And then sometimes those who pray short prayers are crisis prayers. When you got problem. But we must make prayer a habit. We must make prayer a habit. From time to time, we learn corporate prayer, pray long hours, go for long sessions of prayer. But we must develop the other aspect of endurance. And in during our work, it's just like we know that physically the fastest animal on this earth, fastest mammal is the cheetah. It can speed, shoom, very fast, fastest mammal. But the animal that can last longest is a special name animal. And they examine it, the scientists recently examine why it can, running fast is one thing, but running fast and keeping at it hour upon hour. So the endurance test, the endurance speed test, was a different animal, and the scientists examined the animal and found that it had the ability to absorb more oxygen. That gave it endurance. So the cheetah can run very fast, but just for a short while. It cannot maintain it long. We need to learn both. We need to be able to go for the long prayer, you know, just pray through. But we need to learn the short prayers also. Short prayers. One sentence prayer. Perhaps in, on your way to work, you pray in tongues, etc. But don't just have prayer times in the morning and then in the night before you sleep. Have it short all through the day. Tidbits here and there. Don't just go for a long, big meal. Go for the... Go, if the world has small tidbits, in the spirit world, get a few spiritual tidbits. Munch all the way through life. Praise God. Spiritual tidbits. Pray all the way. Between your work, you know, when you're changing your work, and you're looking at your file on your work, oh Lord, help me in this one. Oh Lord, give me wisdom to handle this project. Lord, give me this and grant me this wisdom. Oh Lord, guide me. I do not know which direction. Speak to Him. Talk to Him aloud. Short little prayers. That will not take your employer's time, of course. It's only one sentence or two. So our life must be built on prayer to bring us to perfection. And notice that Mordecai started the groaning and Esther still was not aware. It starts with the Holy Spirit and then it slowly moves into our life. Not all have heard the call to prayer. But there, when Esther was wondering, what's wrong with this Mordecai? When she found that there was a law that was given, and then in verse 13, Mordecai gave, when Esther found that from the servant she sent,